Hey guys, in case you missed last week's episode, here's a little recap.
Do ghosts know they are dead?
Somebody on our team who has more abilities, which we don't normally get into that, but we do have some people that are sensitive and will say they don't know they're dead. You know, that's not a path we typically go down.
Okay.
Where typically they are just to see, to determine if there is paranormal activity. Yeah. There's scratches, there's bruises, I'm sick. When they start listing all the heavy stuff,
yeah,
not just footsteps and everything, I know we're going in a direction that is going to be a little more intense and has the possibility to be more on the demonic side.
Are you more so afraid to touch on things like that because of a demonic, it could follow you home or...
Mm-hmm. You know,
has that happened? Okay.
I have had something follow me home. I did not feel at all it was demonic. In fact, all of us really on the team have had that experience. Usually doesn't stay in your home for long. You know, we kind of have little techniques we do before we get in the car at the end of an investigation. But the demonic stuff, I have always stayed away. I don't understand. Like, I'm afraid of it. I won't lie. It scares me.
He went to sleep, but then he came back and sat on the couch. Something took possession. You could see his arms were like starting to go like that. And then he get up and he started walking around with his arms like extended.
Yeah.
He was not the person. And I got the actual transition. And then he started just peeling crosses off the walls, pictures, everything, Bibles, and smashing everything. It was him.
Wow.
So he doesn't know this yet, right? And I'm in his apartment, and I'm looking at it, and he can tell by the look on my face. He says, "It was me, wasn't it?" I said, "Yeah, it was."
And now that you're all caught up, we now conclude our two-part miniseries with the paranormal investigators of New England.
Not your typical hump day. These stories are stranger than fiction and more wackier than a Karen going Karen for being told to put on a face mask in public. Brace yourself. This is Bro Rant's Weird and Wacky Wednesdays.
What about you, Betty? Do you have any tales like that besides the attack that you suffered? Anything uncompared?
I do. And it's funny because I was never interested in the paranormal until I was like in my later teens. Mm-hmm. And it was just something that wasn't on my radar. And until I was in an apartment when I was 19 in Exeter, New Hampshire. And... It was just this little like two room in this Victorian home, and I would leave for the day and I'd go to work and come home, and I'd find all the blinds, and there were these huge big windows with heavy blinds, were all down. And I know I put them up and this kept happening. So I'd started making notes to myself. I put the blinds up. I mean, I'm writing it down. They are up. I know they are, right? I come home and they're down again. So I approached the landlord and I said, "Hey, so you've been in my apartment. I mean, I'm not believing paranormal for anything. Like I said, not on my radar." So she goes, no. So anyways, I'd come home and I keep finding things like that happening. Mm-hmm. I had an old fan that was from my parents' basement. It was like, God, the thing must have weighed 20 pounds. It was small, but it was like heavy, heavy metal.
Yeah.
And I don't like fans, but I got it there because I didn't have an air conditioner. And I figured, well, someday I might use it. Never plugged it in. I came home one day and the fan was plugged in, dragged up to the bed, and the sheets were blowing like crazy, like, I don't even know how you could fix it to make the sheets blow like that. It was something out of a cartoon. And I was like getting really upset because, you know, and I approached the lady and I said, "Hey, you know, if you want me out of there, I'll leave."
Right. She's like, "Damn it. I'm trying to raise this rent."
You don't have to go to all this work.
Yeah.
I said, do you want me out? I'll go. You know, I was quiet. I was by myself, but hey, who knows?
Yeah.
So, and she goes, no. But I'm telling, you know, I'm convinced it's her. I'm not buying this paranormal stuff. So at night, I had a steam radiator. And at night, the steam radiator would turn off. Now, I know she doesn't have a lot of money, so I'm thinking she turned the heat off on me. And it was so cold. I could see the fog when you breathe.
Yeah,
you
know, your breath. Yeah. Yeah.
So I approached her about that as well. Well, it happened many nights until one night I woke up because I did feel something looking at me. And I looked, and right just maybe 3.5 feet from my bed is a full-on apparition. Just standing there. And my first thought was, oh crap, it wasn't her. I yelled at this. I was so mad at this lady.
Yeah.
And it was this guy. I'm like, oh.
So the apparition was of a man?
Yeah, it was of a man. It was black and it was just kind of standing there shrugged. And he looked, and I could just feel he looked so sad. He looked like.
Did he communicate with you?
Did he what?
Did he communicate with you?
No.
No.
No. And I just kept staring at it. And then for maybe 10 seconds, and then I looked away and blinked down and then looked up and it was gone. But it was there. Mm. It was there. And there was no denying it. And at that point, it really throws you into tizzy because everything you were the second before isn't the same as it is now. It changed the fabric of who you are.
Yeah.
Everything from, you know, you got all these lists of thoughts going through your head. It's like everything I just knew and who I thought I was or knew has changed.
So the world, the world that you thought you knew is completely different, like you're saying,
right.
So your beliefs changed.
You opened your eye. It opened your eyes to a whole new world, basically, right?
It did, and it makes you question everything from religion to life after death to is there somebody, you know, or how many people are in here, or there's just so many things that affects, and now your mind's spinning. It's like, okay, so what else? Isn't real or is real, that what else am I not believing?
Makes it really hard to take a shower with a glass door.
Yeah. It does, actually.
Oh my god.
No peeking.
When the apparition was right there. When the apparition was right there next to your bed, did you have this this certain grip of fear that came through that like all the other things that happened to you kind of like come back in your mind about the blinds, the fan that just come through like a.
Cause now I knew it could move stuff.
Oh my and goodness.
And I did move out of there within weeks. I found a place, but it definitely, I had fear, but then for some reason, the guy looks so sad. I thought to myself, I can kick his ass.
Oh, really?
Is that what you thought?
He really looked weak and like really sad, and he was kind of like shrugged up like this. I thought, I got this. I can do, you know. And I just
so what happened? I mean, what happened? You left a week later, right? 2 weeks later. What happened?
You didn't go back. Huh?
Here I am. I can kick his ass, and I left.
And you left exactly. Did you ever find out the history of that, or no? Did you find out if someone?
No, because it wasn't. I wasn't into the paranormal at all. It wasn't like, oh, let me research this.
Yeah, not I even till like, day. You've okay, went. You never looked I'm back just, today.
No, I moved away.
Oh,
totally. So are there places where there are like more occurrences of ghosts than other places? Is there a reason for that?
Definitely.
I think the South. Like I hear like
Louisiana
or the Carolinas. Mm-hmm. I had a friend who was an investigator in North Carolina, and they had stuff going on all the time. But all the battles, all the death that occurs down there, that trapped energy.
Mm-hmm.
But we even find it around here in Vermont, where it tends to be more towards Lake Champlain. A lot of times it'll be along the water lines.
Water.
And that may be something to do with Native Americans who settled along the rivers and all, and people being on their land.
Yeah.
So it seems to be around water, I find, a lot.
Really?
Which is odd. Yeah.
So what about, yeah, because you said that was an old Victorian. Do you think, does it have anything to do with older or newer structures, or it's just, it doesn't matter? Any place could be haunted.
I think that was just, I think it was actually the older lady's, the landlord's husband. Mm-hmm. But because we've certainly known people who has houses built in the 80s and mm-hmm. 90s. And it ends up being something associated either with the people or with the land mm-hmm. and not necessarily the structure.
Right.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, we just had a misfit here. A mishap.
What's that?
Oh, we just had a ghost.
Oh, did you have something go down?
You like, yeah, nah, you nah.
My wife just walked in. No, my wife just walked in and hit the light. Wow. A human primer.
We have investigated a haunted radio station. Just
oh, really?
Saying, so.
Oh, you have?
We got tons of activity.
What kind of qualities do you need to have to be a great paranormal investigator?
Hey, I think Raymond's trying to get in your group.
Yeah, there you go.
I would say detail.
Mm-hmm. Detail.
Attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much equipment out there with bells and whistles, and people are getting all caught up with this stuff on TV.
Yeah.
And it's not that. It's you have to have the basics. You have to have basic investigative techniques, such as keeping notes. When did you start? Where did you go? How did you feel? Who were you with? What were the temperatures in the room? You know, keeping track of all these details. People are losing that. And I would say that just, you know, taking good old photos. People don't, you know, they're so busy with their equipment.
Yeah.
They're not taking photos. And photos are a big deal.
Have an audio recorder going with you.
Always. There's no, especially people, you know, you've got a cell phone, then you've got an audio recorder because there's a voice memo on it. So there's the very basics is, you know, don't get all caught up right off in all the great equipment, because it's really all about your technique.
Mm. Right. And I think too, that patience is a huge thing to have, because, you know, people look for the fun thrill of it. Oh, let me run through, get scared, you know, catch something.
Yeah.
But what people forget is, say we go to your home for six hours to 8 hours of investigating. We probably have a minimum of four cameras running. We probably have four or five audio recorders running. It is the most important thing mm-hmm. is to go over every second, whether it's video or audio. Somebody has to listen to that and, you know, make notes of sounds and then go back and forth. If something was caught on video, we'll cross-reference it with somebody else's camera or somebody else's. The hours that are spent after an investigation are the most important. That's where you find your evidence. But it's boring as
it can be until you get that 1 second.
It's worth it. You get that one blip, that one answer to a question. And it's like, you know, it's like treasure hunting. You know, people are out there treasure hunting. And when you get that one gold coin, it makes all the hours worth it for
it's
us.
It's like, woohoo, where's the next one?
Exactly. Such a rush.
What's the longest you had to wait? Like, what's the longest you put in time to wait for just that one blip or that one sound or
that one moment?
Well, we've had entire investigations and got zero. So.
Oh, yeah. And you've got to think that you're spending your entire Saturday night in somebody's closet, sitting in the dark, talking to an audio recorder. I mean, that's what you're giving up. You know, you're sitting there. It's like, okay, this is how I'm spending my life now. So
how about the guy that we went two separate, her and I, right? Two separate investigations with a haunted cat.
Oh, and he wanted us to get in the bed with him so we could tell.
What kind of cat?
The haunted cat?
What is a haunted cat?
This guy was convinced that there was a ghost cat in his place.
Okay.
Everything from, you know, we'd be laying on the floor looking at a cat toy. It's like, he moved. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
And then he's like, well, you got to get into the bed because it'll jump on you. And sadly, we must have been really low on cases.
Was this a perv? Was this a perv that had a fetish?
We did twice.
I remember him
lying on the bed and saying, come on in, you know, I'll tell you how it felt.
It sounds like a pervert. Oh my gosh. This-
so really, the scariest thing about investigations isn't always the ghost.
It's the homeowners. And you guys work for free, is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
All for free.
See, I looked at you guys. The reason you're able to do that is because there's a membership to be in your group, right? You have to pay towards
being it or no? I do ask people to chip in a certain amount every month because we carry insurance.
You can?
Because in this day and age, I don't want anybody, you know, they'll sue you for, you know,
anything. Geez, you know, exactly.
Yeah. Ever since you got here, I've been like mentally disturbed and can't work.
Yeah, you tripped over my grandma's Ming Dynasty vase yeah. or something like that. Or
they
like
go
that.
Down, they fall over our cords yeah. and go down the stairs. Yeah. So with this insurance and his website's fees, because I, you know, use a better website, I think, to, I'd rather pay a little and get, you know, help when I need it.
Yeah.
So there is a cost. And then the cost of the equipment and stuff, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys have, like, an extensive amount of equipment. Like, a lot. I mean, I went through
Oh, it's
page.
Not even all on there, either. Oh, I haven't really? Updated it for, like, 2 years, so.
Holy crap.
I gotta do that. Yeah, I gotta do that.
I'm saying, you're getting that group money. You gotta update that website.
I know, right?
I'm just kidding.
Life is busy.
I know, I'm a jerk. I say it all the time. I'm a jerk. I was gonna ask you guys something, and because I was a jerk, I completely forgot it. Don't you hate when that happens?
I hate it.
It was something I was gonna ask. It was really good.
Was it about ghosts?
Of course. that was pretty good.
I mean, at this point, we know each good. Other. You can ask us about anything.
All right, that was pretty good. That was actually pretty good.
Well, I have a question then, since she's working on his question.
Wait, I had it.
You had it.
There was something that Betty was saying. What were they just saying a moment ago?
She was talking about the... Just now?
Yeah, well, not about the website stuff.
Ghosts.
Dues, insurance.
Oh, okay, there we go. Hey. We're talking about the people that...
Be part of the group.
The weirdos, the pervs that have the fetish. The guy with the cat.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, he was not a perv. He was a very nice guy. I just think he was... His medication was off.
Oh, he's an old guy.
Are you pulling?
He was a nice guy.
No. I was gonna say, do you ever find that, you know, the people that contact you, some of them just contact you to, you know, almost pull a wool over your eyes, or they're just trying to, you know, test you?
I think there's people out there who watch a lot of TV.
Yeah,
and they are just waiting for the next noise in the house.
Yeah,
and then they build on that, and then they watch more TV, and they even might start audio recording on their own, which is a bad idea. I think there's definitely people out there that are just, we get a lot of requests in the middle of the night, and you know when something comes in at 3 a.m., it's probably not, you're going to respond. You're going to respond to it, and they're never going to hear, you're never going to hear back. You know, you write it, it's like, you know what time this came in. Yeah. You know, they were,
and there's this.
How did he even find your information at 3 o'clock in the morning?
But why is it a bad day to record on your own?
Oh, you know, well, the other, you know, back in the day, you know, when the Ghost Hunter show was on all the time, people would be like, oh, go to their website. And because we are affiliated with them, it gets circumvented right to us. If the claim comes in from Vermont, but there's a lot of wackadoos out there, you know?
It brings out
the crazy without a doubt.
Does.
And we just got one. Remember the one we just got? This person was 100% convinced that their mustard bottle was haunted.
What?
In the fridge.
In the fridge.
The mustard, condiments?
Why?
Mustard.
Why is that?
Yellow mustard.
Like ketchup.
Wow.
Ketchup's companion.
Yeah.
Wow, that's...
And the sad part is
she just got that.
I actually took
she just
time
got
and
that.
Responded
That's
to
good,
the email.
Buddy. She just got that joke. Well,
I
let's let it.
On that
yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
We're like, does it make loud noises when you squeeze hard enough?
Hey.
Oh my god, get some wackadoo ones. The stuff that hits my computer.
Yeah.
I just should save it all, and we should have a log or a book.
You guys should have like a YouTube where you go over the craziest things that you get, the crazy requests, and just go through the email.
So you guys don't post you don't post your sounds that you find and the things you find for like
we're
a lot of
kind
of
careful because it's,
I know residential.
Most of it, if it's a public thing, yes, but if it's client information, we don't post anything about it. Unless it's give permission, but we don't like to put client stuff out there.
Yeah.
So you could,
it's their personal file.
You couldn't do it without giving their address or personal information.
Probably.
Probably could change
the
information.
We could, but a lot of people don't even want that out there.
Okay.
Even especially if it's a video file, because now you're showing the inside of their home,
and people know their home.
So
Yeah.
And it's a small, this is a small area. So, gotcha. But you know, once in a while we do, but you know, it's on our Facebook. All that kind of stuff is on our Facebook. We have a large Facebook following.
Yeah.
And what is your Facebook? What is your Facebook page again? So people can go to it.
Paranormal Investigators of New England.
There we go.
Okay. And like when we did the battleship and people were getting, you know,
Gettysburg,
all that little stuff we were getting went right to the Facebook page.
Yeah, that's the fun area where we post all kinds of crazy stuff and and news articles, and the website's pretty serious.
Yeah.
Oh,
the website. We just got back from Gettysburg not too long ago. That was amazing.
There's no like mustard on there or cats on there at all.
No. We should have like the crazy files, like the stuff that's come in.
You should.
Cases we should not have gone on or don't take. Yeah.
That would
things that were a really bad idea.
Yeah, bad idea. The best, I remember one case came in. I take a lot of the, I'm the case manager, so I do the interviews, and I remember one of the claims, you know, food is coming out of shelves, packages are open, stuff is everywhere. And typically I do a phone interview, and then I like to go on site, if at all possible, for an insight interview, because somebody's home can tell you a lot
about them.
This. And we really want to make sure it's a legitimate case before I grab, you know, investigators and have them give up their night, put miles on their car, etc. And the moment I walk in this house, it was like marijuana palooza everywhere.
Wow.
I'm like, no wonder the food's out in a mess.
They were on that.
I'm like, you don't have a munchies. Ghost. You're high as a kite and eating everything in the kitchen.
So
that was a no-go on that one for me. I'm like, no.
Oh my gosh.
I know you've been on hundreds of cases as far as for the paranormal, but you told me you've seen the apparition and you've seen ghosts yourself, but how many ghosts have you actually seen though?
Very few ghosts. That is so rare. Other investigators have seen apparitions, but it's few and far between. But there's other little, you know, there's other data and stuff that we capture. And just to let you know, we do also UFO.
I saw that.
And Bigfoot, if the requests come in.
I saw, how's that been? How's the UFO or the Bigfoot been? Have you guys gotten close to the Sasquatch?
The squash?
The squash? Have you guys gotten close to him?
Squash? The big guy?
Yeah. Well, we've done some expeditions.
We had one case that was both paranormal and cryptozoology.
Yeah, that was a good one. I never saw the squash, but saw the lean-tos. And found the footprints.
Oh, really?
You know how they make the kind of a lean-to type thing?
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, they call them tree structures.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're kind of thrown together, but it's like big branches that, you know,
that a human could move. Gotcha. That a human can move by himself.
I went on vacation. I went in Blue Ridge, Georgia. We went to a Bigfoot museum.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very cool. I was going to say, did you guys?
You guys are in Florida, right?
Yeah, we're in Florida.
We're in Florida.
Yeah, they got some spots in Florida. I've seen
the Everglades is loaded with a skunk ape.
What skunky? Yeah.
It's called skunk ape.
Oh,
and that's skunk their version ape. Of
a Bigfoot of Sasquatch.
Is it?
Yeah.
Did you guys use the bat on the tree?
Yeah.
You did right.
A stick.
Who made the whale? Who made the whale for the Bigfoot? I watch this stuff, man. I watch it.
The whale.
Recently, a couple months ago, we brought along an expert who actually could do the yell.
Oh, the calls.
I did have one on my phone, but it was like so lame. So we brought along an expert who could really belt it out.
Oh, gotcha.
In the museum. The museum, they had that. They had the you put the headphones on and. Yeah. They had the recordings
of
the noise of Sasquatch.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Yeah,
I want to get out to Northern California and check out that whole Willow Creek area where he's known to be present. They have a great museum out there as well.
Gotcha.
And on a side note, I am a newly appointed BFRO Bigfoot investigator. So
okay.
I'm just now in the BFRO world. So
Congratulations. Learning
the techniques. Yeah, you know.
Yes.
I got to keep it crazy. Going from ghosts to Bigfoot. You know, my husband's thrilled.
I know.
He actually would like me to do something that actually earns money once in a while.
That is funny. Hey, the passion always pays. Regardless, it pays the soul, right? The passion, anything you're passionate about.
Yeah. Trust me, that's right.
Because our wives,
great dinner conversations after a couple of glasses of wine.
What were you going to say? You were to say something, weren't you?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, the UFOs. Have you guys caught anything with the UFO tracking?
Nobody thinks of us, I don't think, when it's UFOs. We did get a couple cases in the past where people, actually two different people that didn't know each other, reported the same thing on this hill where they saw a UFO come down and reported it, and they didn't know each other. So that was really interesting. We did check that out. We didn't find anything per se, but just, you know, people don't think of, oh, paranormal investigators of New England. They think of, you know, going to like MUFON or something like that. So if we hear something in the area, though, we'll go ring out and, like, you know, check it out or try and interview ourselves. It's hard.
UFOs are hard because they're kind of like there and gone. There's not really a lot of evidence left behind.
Yeah, I would think
You know, with Bigfoot, there's evidence, and paranormal, you're getting audio recordings and things like that. It's one of those things, if you're lucky enough to capture it on camera, amazing. But once it's gone, what do you got? You know, stuff.
Do you guys have things in your house that protect you from,
good question,
from ghosts coming or apparitions coming to your house? You have things that, like,
I do a cleansing with
sage.
Yeah, I do that every once in a while because I feel like I bring stuff in, you know, from other houses.
Yes.
So I do that, and I use salt and I use oil, and I, you know, say a prayer, and it's always in, if I have anything in the house, it's always gotten rid of it so far. So I don't have anything per se, but I do my little ritual thing if I feel like I need to.
Gotcha.
I'm the same way. I've saged a few times. Actually, I spent yesterday making sage bundles. I have a lot of friends that'll have me come in and do their saging for them. I'm like, I don't know why. You do it yourself.
Well, you just walk around and do it? Because I actually, you know, off topic.
Yeah.
Well, it is on topic because I bought that the other day just to get negative vibes or energy out of the household.
Well, I think Amazon it's better to do it. Like, if it's your home, you do it.
Trying to get
like
rid
it's,
yourself?
It's all about putting the intent out there. So we don't offer it as a service.
This guy's a jerk. I thought I was a jerk. He said I'm trying to get rid of myself. No, buddy. I live with women. Not like that. No. Jeez, I forgot my audience. I forgot my audience.
Around yourself.
I forgot my audience.
Man. Dang it. God.
Darn it.
We're going to get canceled. Listen, already.
I live with all men.
Okay, see? So wait, okay, so I want to make sure I'm doing it right.
They won't come back now.
So I say, they'll come back because I'm cool. I saged, right? So what do I do when I sage? Like, I walk around and I was, you know, I just like any negative energy, be gone, whatever. That's what I did. What should I do?
You got to be careful not to lock it in your house. So you start, like, usually, I don't know if you have a basement. I guess in Florida you don't have basements.
No, basements.
But you start at the bottom floor typically.
Yeah.
And you start, like, coming, like, maybe you would start in the outside room, work in up if you have a stairway.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to do each room. And you want to hit all four corners of the room and get the smoke everywhere and bring it forward with you as you're walking backwards. And when you cross the line of the threshold of a doorway, you're going to line the doorway with salt, and you're going to make, you're going to use the oil and put little crosses on the archway that, like, on the corners of the door.
What kind of oil?
And also,
essential?
And also, as you're doing this, what's that?
What kind of oil are you using? What kind of oil?
You can use, like, olive oil would be best.
Okay, olive oil, okay.
The way this sounds, it kind of reminds me of an episode of Supernatural.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm trying to get rid of these negativity spirits. You let this woman finish. You got Betty finish.
You might need to sage right now, right there.
Yeah. But you also put the crosses on the corners of all the windows, too. like as you're doing it. So okay. You want any glass, any mirrors, and any windows, you do it. I mean, if you really want to do it thoroughly, and it takes a while. It's not just running through throwing, you know, smoke around. So I take my time and I do each room all over, and then I work up the stairs, and then I go through the rooms, and I know I'm going to like open up a final window and have it go out that window. So you're sort of bringing it forward, because each time you cross that a new threshold, you blind the salt, you're kind of like sealing it in.
So it's possible to lock a ghost in a house or in a,
yeah.
in a dwelling or somewhere.
Yeah, it is.
You guys notice a big difference once you do it?
I only do it typically if I can tell something's in the house, and I just recently did it.
Yeah.
And I can tell the next day that it's gone. So yeah, I can. I don't know if you can.
You do a way more thorough saging than I do. I've done it a few times, and I don't get involved with the salt or the oil.
Yeah.
But I do start in my home, the most bottom corner. And I just work my way, you know, from the basement to the first floor. And same thing, I've already pre-opened a window upstairs. When I get to the second floor, I go out that window. But the whole time as I go, which she would be doing the same, say things like, only, you know, love, light, and happiness in this home. Only good energy. All negative energy, not welcome. So you're just kind of putting the intent out there.
Yeah.
It's probably 75% for your own brain makes you feel good, but I do believe clearing the energy is positive. You know, I'm going to go help a friend out this weekend, new business space, and she wants the business to start with a clean energy, and I'm going to do something very similar to that, just saying, you know, only you know, good positive energy forward, it will be a success for her, you know, that kind of thing. And and sometimes it's more, like I said, it's up here a little bit, but that's everything. That's, you know,
but you can also say that you want family members to stay if they want to be there, because a lot of people are like, well, I want a sage, but I don't want Uncle Joe to go.
Correct.
So you can say, I, you know, only, you know, family members and anybody, you know, with good, you know, friends or family that are
Not everybody wants the spirit gone. Some people want certain energy around them.
Gotcha. So like, let's say for instance, if you sage, let's say you want to sage because you can just tell the home environment is toxic, so that's what you sage for, because you can tell something is adding, you know, like maybe whether your child or your kids are having more mood swings than normal.
That is actually exactly when I would sage my, you know, after certain investigations that I felt I didn't like the energy in the house. But when I felt the family dynamics, you know, you guys, do you have teenagers?
Yeah.
They can really raise hell with the dynamics of a house.
Yes.
So sometimes when I felt like the energy of the house got a little like, ah, this just sucks, I'll go through and just do a sage just to clear the energy. Mm-hmm. Does it help? There's no proof, but it makes me feel better. It's something I can do. But you know, I think it does cleanse, you know, the air and the energy in a home.
For people who don't,
wherever you're doing it.
For people who don't know, why do you use sage?
It's
That goes back to Native American beliefs. That's what they used, and so that's where that basis is. You can also use what's much cleaner is Palo Santo wood. And that doesn't smell as bad, because sage is pretty, white sage is even pretty potent.
Yeah, man, it's pretty funky. Like it's got a funk to it.
Like
it does, yeah.
So I use the wood you can buy, and that...
That sounds good, yeah.
Yeah, and that you kind of order online, because you can't find it. You know, I don't know as if they have it in the, you know, growing in the U.S., but you order it online. It's much cleaner. It doesn't leave as many ashes and... doesn't smell as much, and it works.
Yeah, and the sage I made the other day, I add rosemary and lavender to it. So, you know, I add other herbs, so won't smell so much like a party.
Right. The question that you guys wanted me to, the word. What can you tell people who are afraid of the paranormal? What would you tell them?
What you give them?
I think the question is, why are people afraid of the paranormal? And I think we kind of touched base on this, is because it if they have to go down that road and believe in the paranormal, it does change their whole the fabric of who they are. Yeah. And I think we talked about that. Yeah. And they want to stay with what they know.
It's safer. It's safer that way.
It's almost like with aliens, right? If you know you're not alone.
You're like, oh my gosh, we're not. Yeah, exactly. We're not alone. And things are not what they said they are. Things are different. Yeah. Everything's different from now on.
There's at least so much. You know, their security, their fear. They got a lot of things. There's also what's really interesting. Is a lot of times the women of the household will believe in the paranormal, but the man won't. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, I don't. You know, even if he had stuff happen to him, he won't, admit he believes in it. And I think this is because he always has to fix what's wrong. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden he's got a problem he can't fix. And so the easiest way for him to not go there is just to say, I don't believe in it.
To not admit it, not admit to it.
Then you don't have to fix it.
That's exactly right.
Because they can't fix it. Yeah. And so that's, I even did a case once where that was the case and the guy's really stoic, like, no, and as the night went on and things started happening, all of a sudden he broke down crying. So I'm like, we got a situation.
He's like, I can help with the paranormal, but not that. You need help. Exactly. You need Jesus.
And he just let it out. And he did believe it. He just didn't know, what to do. So that's also, and the paranormal is an abstract concept, too, for people who are very, scientific.
Logical thinkers. Yeah.
That's a big pull for them too. So it's harder for some others.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I love the fact that you guys use science and you can actually prove that you see, you say apparitions. Is that because you don't, is that a better word for ghosts? Apparitions?
Apparition is when the spirit energy manifests itself into a form, whether it's a human form or a black shadow
or an orb,
see through something like that. To us, to capture that would be the Holy Grail. It is so hard to do. Usually, we've experienced things like shadow figures, but usually the camera's pointing the other direction or it happened so fast we didn't catch it. That is something that it would be very rare in a case. And the other thing is homeowners will give us this list of items that happen in their home. I see black shadows. I see this. I see that. They also live in their home 24/7, 7 days a week for years and years and years. When we come in, we're getting a little snapshot, 6 hours, 8 hours, maybe one or two times we've investigated their home. And it's a little bit of a needle in the haystack for us to capture it. That's why we make no guarantees. If we capture anything, we will 100% share it with them, give them copies of it. We provide reports, all that. But because we're in the home so little.
Right.
And the other part that is tough is here we come in, completely different energies. Mm-hmm. We're moving equipment around. We're doing, these funny little route, things, EVP sessions. We're asking questions in the air. And sometimes I wonder if our energy doesn't maybe scare it away or
it's watching us, entertained now.
Exactly. And it's funny because we've had homeowners literally go, it's like when you go to the doctor, your symptoms totally disappear when you go.
Exactly.
Like, the moment you get here, it stops.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, it happens.
On what you just said there, you said your energy comes in and it may repel them. And you know how you said you use sage to repel them. Is there something that may attract ghosts?
So we personally never sage anybody's home. That's something that we will advise people afterwards. When we come in, we're for an investigation, we're actually trying to open ourselves up to having that experience. And how do you think we would try to bring them in? I mean, obviously with EVP.
The whole thing is for us to communicate with them without antagonizing them. But we lay out, what is this thing if it's they are capable of doing. So you have to find out what energy, what is it capable of? Maybe it can't talk into your audio recorder. Maybe it can't move anything. Maybe it can touch a flashlight. You got to find out where it's at without any knowledge of what it can do or what it's made up of. So the whole thing is just trying to lay out all the tools to communicate and see what it chooses.
Gotcha.
And then you start going in that direction. So you just keep trying to narrow it down.
And as you interview clients, for example, if it's a child spirit that they believe's on the property, we're going to tackle that investigation completely different than if they believe it's a Civil War soldier or that the claims are. So we're going to have different techniques based on, the research of the property, the multiple interviews that we've done with clients. And so that will guide us on how we're going to try to communicate. I mean, you just did one recently where you played 50s music, right?
Oh, yeah. The client said that they were playing, like, blasting 50s music. Uh-huh. And they saw four ghosts dancing, like black mist dancing.
Wow.
So it's sort of like, well, I want to see ghosts dancing. So when we came in, the team, we split up into two teams and played music and blasted to see if we could get that. Because, like, maybe that's what they tune into. That's where they're at. So we didn't get anything on it, but you kind of just roll with whatever you're being presented with.
Yeah, which makes it. What's the furthest you guys would travel for an investigation or have traveled?
Gettysburg it wasn't a client.
That was sort of that was like a fun road.
We do a lot of fun stuff like Bobby Mackey's
I would say Asylum. Southern Vermont, and then we go into New York, upstate New York. Mm-hmm. So that
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, 2 to 3 hours is probably about, but
especially winter.
We're part of the TAPS family network.
Yeah.
So we have sister teams or brother teams or whatever you want to call it. So if we get phone, because we're of New England, we'll get a lot of cases coming in from Massachusetts and New Hampshire and Maine. And so if I realize that we are tackling one coming up in New Hampshire a little bit further than our normal comfort zone, but it's got too good of stuff happening. Yeah. We're not giving it up. But I simply go right through the TAPS family list, reach out to a team in closer to their area, and just make sure that homeowner is covered, because that's what we do. Is really, we're in the business not to run around, get scared, and capture evidence. I mean, yes, do we want evidence and proof?
Yeah.
But the name of the game is helping out the client.
First and foremost, right.
First and foremost.
Gotcha. Well, how many people are in this group network, in this TAPS family?
Oh, my gosh. Oh. I'd have to pull up online. But
every state is covered.
Every state is covered. And larger states have two or three. And there's international as well. Oh, so Vermont's so small, we only have one.
We only have one, yeah.
But you can certainly look us up online.
We get stuff through there.
Gotcha.
But then we also get stuff through our website. So it's two different ways.
And Facebook. Stuff
And Facebook is actually even more popular. So we have stuff coming in from, different arms of different areas. But, but the TAPS family is always handy to use when we know there's a lot you have to do to get verified as a TAPS family team. So there's a lot. You have to, like, investigate for 5 years. You have to have recommendations. You have to have this. You have to have that. So, we know.
Past background checks.
Yeah, I mean, it's all.
Yeah,
it's all good.
It sounds legit. Yeah.
Holy crap.
We can't be criminals.
So. Yeah.
At least they haven't found us yet.
They haven't found us yet. Thelma and Louise, just saying.
Thelma and Louise, I can see it. Where? Okay, so let's say, where do people find you? Where is your website again for the people?
pine.org.
Org. Org means you're legit.
Yep.
Org.
And then you can Google Paranormal Investigators of New England. We pop right up.
The best thing in New England.
Yeah.
Best thing in New England, guys.
That's right. Hey. more popular than the Patriots.
We think so.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't want to take up any more of your time, because I know you guys have been on for a little bit. I know we scheduled in for like an hour and a half, but Yes. You guys have been awesome.
I don't, if you have any more questions, feel free. I know you have a few more, but
no, it's fine, because I want to do, if, I mean, I'd love to have you guys back on just to tell us one, you know, one of your craziest cases to walk through on our weird and wacky Wednesdays, because, you know, it's the spirit of Halloween.
We have a couple coming up that are real good ones. We've got one that her security cameras caught full body apparition. We almost think it's a too good to be true thing, but
you gotta see that.
I believe she's legit. This is the case in New Hampshire that we're gonna go do.
We gotta see that.
That if she's willing.
We gotta see that
if the client's willing to show it.
We need to go through the case. You know, we also, you know, are really conscious of people's privacy, but we've also got a haunted dealership that we're going to be doing next month.
So is it your husband's?
The claims are pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Is it your husband's dealership? Is it your husband's?
It yes.
Is it really?
So my husband is really? Five, oh and, my and this God. this is one up on near the Canadian border, not terribly far. Yeah. And the folks working in the office, it's not on the main showroom floor. It's a building they just acquired, but the folks up in the office got some pretty crazy claims. I was just there on an interview and surprised me what was going on.
And look, so, look who they called. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know.
Isn't that right?
Not only does my husband not want to sponsor anything,
right.
He wasn't really excited that I rode to work with him that day and walked in. Yeah.
He's like, guys, this is my wife. She's coming. God.
Yeah.
You're gonna ask you guys some.
I would have said,
definitely pulled out the tinfoil.
I would have said, I was
with the sage. With the sage.
Yeah.
So yeah. We've got some good ones coming up for sure.
Are you going to say what?
I would have told the guys, hey, I got the hookup on this. We can figure this out. I got my wife to come in here. I would have been excited for you. I would have been really happy.
Dude, it must have been like the most quiet drive. I mean,
yeah, he's so used to it now. I mean, 10 years in, he's used to it. So.
Don't embarrass me.
I know. Just don't tell him you believe in this stuff. Oh, God.
I know. He won't admit that he believes in it now.
Gosh, yeah. Karen. Mm. Yeah, he probably gave you the courtesy vehicle.
What's
that?
Awesome.
Oh, that's a learn golf.
But listen, thank you guys for being so informative, and I really appreciate you guys for coming in here and spending your time with us. We really appreciate you.
I do as well, but I do have
You're
a
welcome.
Joke. They it's drove in together. Fun. They drove in together in the dealership, and she left with a courtesy vehicle. Like, honey, you drive. You find your. You can have it for a week.
You can find your own ride.
Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you, guys. You guys have been awesome. You ladies have been wonderful. And like I said, I would love to have you guys on again to talk about one of your cases, a couple of your cases, and we'll just leave it at that for you. Okay. We won't interrupt. Promise.
Hey. Thanks. It's been a blast.
Thank awesome. You.
We appreciate it.
Thank you. We'll let you know when the episode is out.
All right.
Great.
Awesome. Well, stay safe out there.
Oh, you take as well, yes. Ghostbusters.
Yes. Yeah.
Ha 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 ha.